Blog Talk Radio.
Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. And it's good to be here. We thank God that we're here just another session. It is of the Lord's mercies. We are not consumed because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So it's a blessing to be able to be here. It's good for us to be here. We thank God for all of our Blog Talk friends and followers, all of our Twitter followers, all of our LinkedIn connections, and also all of our Facebook friends and followers. We're glad to be here. And we want you to know, as we know, that there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So thank God. This is a quote from the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. Incidentally, the book that we're in right now that we're doing our lesson on, we're doing part two to the Ephesian church. And these people were already saved. He was writing to believers who had already been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. They'd already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, as in Joel 2:28, the prophecy: "It shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Upon my servants and my handmaids in those days, I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." So my question to you is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? So it's so imperative that you have the Holy Ghost if you want to fly out of here in the rapture of the church. So it's good to be here, and we're going to continue. We weren't on last week, but week before last, we had started in the book of Ephesians, and before that, we were in the churches at Galatia. I think that was about 3 weeks it took us to do that. So we're continuing in the book of Ephesians, was written to Gentiles. This is one of Apostle Paul's first prison epistles. And this is one of the churches that he started, along with concurrently with Colossians, Philemon, Onesimus, Philemon, this Ephesian church and the church at Colossae. So the doctrine of the epistle confirms the view. And remember, that word doctrine just simply means teaching. These were some of the things that the Pharisees and the Sadducees got upset with Jesus, because they were, as the writer, whichever one, there were four gospel writers writing about the same gospel, and they would on occasion make a quote saying of the Pharisees and the Sadducees that they were astonished at his doctrine or his teaching. So this epistle contains the highest church truth, but has nothing to do with church order. As I mentioned on last time, that's why he had to write to the church at the Corinthian churches. He wrote two letters, 16 chapters in the first one and 13 in the second, to set the Corinthian church in order. That church was definitely a very gifted church. They were all out of order. This church here, he simply want to let them know their position as believers. And then the key thing that the church here is the true church, his body, not the local church, as in Philippians and literally when he wrote to them, Philippi and Corinth. But three lines of truth, this epistle, the believers' exalted position through grace, the truth concerning the body of Christ, and the walk in accordance with that position. So as we've quoted on before, he made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we thank God that we're here on today. And should you desire to call in, should you have a question, or should you have a comment, you are welcome to call in. Our call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566 is our call-in number. So we going to move on in our lesson. I believe before we dealt with when he, in the book of Acts, where he started this church, and then so we did the first couple of chapters, and so today we're going into the mystery. And we know a mystery is a hidden truth. So he goes on here in the third chapter, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for ye Gentiles." Remember that is so very important that he wrote to Gentiles, because the Gentiles, this is where the Lord had got his attention after his conversion on the road to Damascus, and he let him know he's going to send him to the children of Israel, and he was going to send him far hence unto the Gentiles. This is what he told Ananias, that he was going to show him how great things that he must suffer for his name's sake. So he is definitely the apostle to the Gentiles. So he says, "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word," in other words, to you Gentiles, "how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Remember, if you've been following me, I've made mention before, he gave Paul the mystery, he gave Peter the keys, Paul the mystery, John the revelation. So this God gives gifts as severally as he will. So it's amazing. So this is this St. Paul, he gave the mystery of the resurrection, and this is why he could write. He was saying that we're not going to all sleep, but we shall all be changed. He's talking about dying in Christ. So he believed at that time that when he wrote, he says, we should not all sleep. So how much more is the coming of the Lord nearer now than it was then? And as I made mention on before, on last week when he was saying it's high time to wake out of sleep. He's talking about spiritual sleep because that was the key. What happened in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot was they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, as people always do. But the key thing is that they were unaware, because the world goes on. Like somebody said, the band played on. I mean, the world's going to go on, but you don't want to be so carried away you're unaware of what is going on. And like I said on last time, and I may mention before, the Supreme Court is having a discussion that they shouldn't be having, but they don't even know. I mean, they're fulfilling the word of the Lord. So the question is, if they're going to decide on this matter, you know, cause same-sex marriage is yet to be seen. We will find out sometime on this month. So he goes on here. He's talking about his knowledge and the mystery. So he says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. He's talking about men. He's talking about prophets. He's talking about preachers. And he said, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So the key is, when he came to do his earthly ministry, when Jesus was walking the shores of Galilee and he did his earthly ministry, that was the gospel of the kingdom. He came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel initially. It wasn't open to the Gentiles. So this is what, on last week, what we were reading about, how the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. So we have access, everybody, Jew and Gentile. And this is what, Apostle Paul didn't start the church in Rome, but he heard of their faith. In Rome, Italy is not God's holy mountain, but God's holy mountain has always been Jerusalem. But he had heard of Rome was a horrible place. They did all kinds of damnable things to people in Rome, Italy. They cut babies out of women. They'd done all kinds of things. But he heard of their faith. That's why he went. He said he wanted to impart unto them some spiritual gift. And that's when he was saying, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. He went on to let them know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the word Greek and Gentile will be the self same thing. If you're not a Jew, whatever nation you are. So he says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And he actually was original quote out of Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith. So he is writing here to the Gentiles. So he goes on here that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So in other words, he made it plain when he wrote to the church at Galatia. He said, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, but we are all one in Christ. So this is why some people don't believe in women preachers, but he says your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. This is one of the first prophecies. He's going to pour out of his spirit in Joel 2:28 upon all flesh. That means it doesn't matter what your nationality is, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So in other words, the word prophesy means preach. So in the church, it doesn't matter who, if you're male or female. So actually, in your neuter gender, just like angels, in the church, when you operate, you're as angels. So you, in the church, that's the order in the church. You go home, then you are who you are. So thank God for understanding and of that. So he goes on here that he's talking about the Gentiles being fellow heirs of the gospel, like everyone else. So in other words, you have the same, you're equal to everyone else. So he said, where have I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me whom am less than the least of all saints, in this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So what he's making reference to is he persecuted the church of God and he wasted it. And he went on to let them know, I am but what I am by the grace of God. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, when he's given the order of the resurrections, and he was saying how Christ died. He's talked about the gospel, actually, 15th chapter, how Christ died according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He was seen of Cephas, and he was seen of 500 brethren, above whom the greater part has fallen asleep. He's talking about that they died in Christ. And he says, last of all, he was seen of me who is the least of all. And then he was of all the apostles that I was meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church and wasted it. And he was letting them know that I labored more abundantly than all the other apostles. And he went on to let them know, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Then he also, when he wrote to his son Timothy in the gospel, he let him know, prefer how he was an injured person and a persecutor and all the things that he'd done. And he said that he did it ignorantly in unbelief. And so he thanked God for the grace that was given to him. So on the day, my tags are whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And so we're going to get to that scripture. We've already actually got that. He was saying, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery. So it was revealed to him because one of the signs of being an apostle is that you had to see the Lord. You were chosen by the Lord. You had to see him. He was the last one to see him because the Lord showed himself to him. You had to be taught by him. You had to be chosen by him. You had to lay the foundation. You had to write the New Testament scriptures. So there are that office of apostle is nobody that isn't an apostle alive on the day. And then last of all, they died horrible deaths, as I mentioned on before, all except for the apostle John. He had to be put in the Isle of Patmos. They put him, actually boil him in oil. They couldn't kill him. They put him out in the Isle of Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He said he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. So the Lord showed him the end of time. After the fourth chapter of the book of the Revelation, everything is in heaven looking back on the earth. That's why they said, the angel said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Immediately he was in the spirit in the fourth chapter of Revelation. The church is gone. Everything else is looking back on the earth. But the first three chapters are giving the state of the churches during those days, the church age. And actually the Philadelphia, how he commended them. And then Laodicea, which is the state of what you could call the church in nowadays. They said they're rich and increase the goods and have need of nothing. He said, no, it's not that thou art wretched and poor and blind and naked and miserable. So he was saying, anoint your eyes that I have that you may see. You know. And he was saying, which is a shame. And Revelation 3:20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door and let me in, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. He's talking about the door of your heart. So even as bad as what they're discussing in the Supreme Court, you're not gonna that movement that they're same sex movement. You're not gonna stop that movement. This is a wicked world that we're living in. But individuals can still be saved. So it's a broad way. This is what he said in the seventh chapter of Matthew. He wrote to the Jews. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way to lead it unto life. Few be there to enter in thereat. Because broad is the way and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. So people, like Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So people want to do what they want to do. And so like I used to tell people when I did prison ministry, people used to say, hell yeah, hell yes. I said, you need to be saying no to hell, because nobody in their right mind want to go to a place like that. And then I think Matthew 25 and 41 said hell was created for the devil and his angels. Wasn't even made for man initially, but people are going to go there because they're doing their own thing. So we go on here. And so he was saying he was less than the least of all saints in this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. See, he is the pattern. Even the pattern that Adam was formed after, the foreknowledge of God. So a lot of people don't understand the foreknowledge of God. It's like God is watching television. He already knows what's going to happen. He knew his foreknowledge, his will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's his will, but his foreknowledge, he's knowing that everyone is not. So this is why Peter said he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But his foreknowledge, knowing everyone is not going to do that. So this is why he said unto them in Mark 16 and 15, he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So, it's, you know, it behooved Christ to suffer in Luke 24th chapter and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So Luke is also the writer of the Acts of the Apostles. So he goes on here, verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So he goes on here, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So to understand the pattern or the image is only one image. Just like we read, there's only one body and one spirit. So he, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God. Remember now, back there in Abraham's days, they didn't know who he was. He was a dreadful being. That's why Moses said, who shall I tell, you know, Pharaoh who sent me? He said, tell him I am. So he went on to let him know in Exodus 6 and 4 that by the name of God, God Almighty, was I not known to, I was known to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name of God Almighty, Exodus 6 and 3. But he says, but by my name Jehovah, I was not known unto them. So in the Old Testament, after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore in the Bible. So in the Jehovah simply means Jesus is become our salvation in the New Testament. So he is the Word made flesh. He is simply, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Or his name, which being interpreted, is God with us. St. Luke 1 and 35, Mary was wanting to know, how are these things going to be, seeing I know not a man? Her salutation with Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist, who was 6 months older than Jesus. So she was saying, he was letting her know, Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the angel, that is, the power of the highest, shall overshadow thee. talking to Mary in the book of Luke, therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's the operative word, St. Luke 1 and 35. So it's a mystery. See, this is where I read, when I go off, great is the mystery of godliness. The subject is not Jesus, because he is the self-same one, but the subject is God. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So God is an omnipresent spirit. He's invisible. You can't see him. He's everywhere and every place. So he made himself a body, and he came into the world that he made. The 40th Psalm says, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. And the 10th chapter of Hebrews, the self-same thing. The writer is making known the same thing. So he goes on in Hebrews, the first chapter, God, comma, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The sonship is an office. See, Apostle Paul understood this mystery. So he goes on here, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant unto you, talking about the saints of God, the church at Ephesus he was initially writing to, the Gentiles, that he would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. See, this is what God comes to save. So this is why he was saying, Nicodemus was saying, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He was saying, art thou a master of Israel? You don't know these things? And so he was talking about, if I tell you of earthly things, how can I tell you of heavenly things and you believe? Then he went on to say, that which is born of flesh is flesh. So we were born, we were a fleshly creature. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. So we're born again. Our spirit is born again. This is why he says, and ye hath he quickened. The word quickened means be made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. So he quickens us. He makes us alive as our spirit, that is. So our spirit is what's born again. Not that heart that's ticking in our chest, but our real, the spirit of life. So we're body, we're soul, and spirit. So God communes with our spirit, but we are a soul. We live in a body. Somebody said we have. Somebody said we know we have a soul. Somebody said we are a soul. It doesn't matter if we are a soul or we have a soul. James says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So if we are a soul, or we have a soul, it doesn't matter. You want your soul to be saved. So that's what the gospel is all about. And like I made mention when he wrote to the church at Corinth, he was saying, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see your calling, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. So he was talking about education when he said not many. He didn't say not any, because Apostle Paul himself was a wise man. But he was saying, he went on to let them know that the weakness of God is stronger than men, and the foolishness of God is wiser than men. So he was saying, when the world by wisdom didn't know God, so it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So to the world, that's foolishness. You know, a man coming to lay down his life, get back up on the third day morning, just like that he said that he would. So he said, no man take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Nobody could do that but the Lord himself. He prophesied of his own death, and he went on to let them know. He said, if I be lifted up. So they put him on that tree. He was made a curse for us. So that cross was a curse. And he said, when you live, you're going to know when you have lifted up the Son of Man. They nailed him to that cross. They lifted it up, dropped it in a hole. They knew. saying, if you be the Son of God, come down, we'll believe you. That's a lie. That devil is a liar and the father of it. You wouldn't have believed him if he had came down. And plus, he wasn't coming down because he had to stay there because he loved us so much. Like I mentioned on last week, somebody wrote the song, I Don't Know Why. Jesus loves me, I don't know why. Talking about the human family, he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did. They went on to say, where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be if Jesus didn't care? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. So he goes on here about us being strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Talking about our spirit. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? That covers everywhere. Breadth, length, depth, and height. And to know the love of Christ, which may be able to comprehend with all saints. What is the breadth and length and depth in Christ? Depth and height, excuse me. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. What kind of term is that? To know, but it's going to pass knowledge. So in other words, God is so great, it's going to take eternity for us to get to know God. This is why he was saying that in the ages to come, in our lesson on last time, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace toward us. So we were made in his image. The angels were created beings, but we were made in the image of God, and also we have souls. So thank God for that. So again, should you desire to call in, you can call our call-in number 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. Should you have a question, should you have a comment, with the time that we have left, you are very welcome. So as we move on here, he's saying, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and so that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So in doing all of what he is saying, we're never going to come to the end of God. And this is what the world doesn't understand. When I say the world, I'm talking about the system. I'm saying, like the Word of God says, what's highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Because what the world does, John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. This is in 1 John 2 and 15. All that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And John goes on to say, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the only thing people in the world want to do is to have a good time. They're in the now. I want to get what I can get now. I want to get what my eyes can see. And just like Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. You hate one, cleave to the other. You hold to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. No man, he said, can serve two masters. So you can't serve God and mammon. And mammon is money. But you got people that's so many billionaires, mostly not in the U.S. of A., as we say, the good old U.S. of A., but in other countries. There are a number of billionaires. We have a few here in our country, a couple of men and one woman that we all know of. But they're not millionaires. They're billionaires. But the point being, like Jesus says, what does it profit a man? In other words, what does it profit a man, a human being, to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And he goes on to say, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, he says, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Because he's writing to his son Timothy in the gospel. He said, Thou, man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, charity, and all the things that he need to do. You know, he was saying, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, but trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So point being, he said we didn't bring anything into this world, and it's certain we're not going to take anything out. So he says, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And he goes on to say, godliness with contentment is great gain. So it's not contingent upon what you have and what you don't have, but it's great gain. So not saying that you don't do better. We're not living in caveman days and all of that, but everyone, you can do what you can do with the ability that God gave you. You can do better. So that's why he said one key thing so many miss is that he said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, because the whole point is if you're able to give, you are already blessed. So that's so very important. So he goes on here, one of the scriptures that a lot of people love to quote. So he says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So somebody says, you can think it, he can do it. No. I mean, it sounds good, but he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I mean, exceeding abundantly above. So in other words, he says above all that we ask or think. So we don't even ask or think what he is able to do. So remember now, Moses got a revelation of it. He says, Lord, thou hast been our resting place throughout all generations. In the 90th Psalm, he says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, he says, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So he had no beginning. He had no ending. He is eternal. And so what baffles people about God is he is invisible. You can't see him. So we can't fathom in our mind a beginning and an ending. But he came out of eternity through time in for us to get ourselves ready so he could take us back into eternity at the time. There's going to be time no longer, as the angel proclaimed in the book of 10th chapter of the book of the revelation. So it's, we can see, that's why James says, what is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little while and it vanishes away. So, I mean, it's amazing when we think back when we were children, now we are adults and people, everyone has a past. Things that happen in our life were good, maybe things that weren't so good, but we're here. We have our right mind. We're here by the grace of God. And so some things we don't understand. They are not a coincidence, but it's the appointment or the providence of God. And so one thing that even now, this medium of technology, even like this Blog Talk Radio, we're able, we don't know where our voice is being heard. I'm saying all over the world. But this is
a product of technology, as in the book of Daniel says, knowledge shall be increased. So man, God gave man knowledge. He gave Solomon wisdom. His wisdom exceeded all everybody. There only was one man that had more knowledge or more wisdom than the man Solomon, who was the son of David, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But Solomon was a very wise man, and he wrote over 1,000 Proverbs. So he definitely knew what he was talking about because of the experience, and God let him experience these things that he experienced to be able to put on record for us. So even Apostle Paul was set at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a very learned man, but he says when he wrote to the church at Corinth, I don't want to know anything among you save crucifies. That word save, biblical terminology, means accept. I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So I was with you in most much weakness and trembling, all the things that he was letting them know, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So he was definitely a wise man. So it's when he gave his testimony to King Agrippa, as we just went through the Acts of the Apostles some months earlier, when he asked King Agrippa in the 26th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? And then he answered, his Apostle Paul answered himself, I know that thou believest. And so King Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So he was saying, I wish to get together that, you know, not only you, but also you were just like I am, except these bonds. In other words, you got me bound. So not going to be good enough, almost. Like somebody said, almost in is always out, almost right is always wrong, almost heaven is always hell. So you want to be all the way in. So we're going on here. So Apostle Paul called himself the prisoner of Jesus Christ. So he goes on here. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. So in other words, I'm begging you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. So sometimes some things we used to do depends on what age you were. I wasn't brought up in the church. I was almost 24 years old when I got saved. So I used to drink. So I tell people, sometimes you may be around people. You're not trying to condemn people. And people have fears. And I'm a builder. You try to build people up, because I was afraid myself to go around people. I ended up going to weddings and receptions and witnessing to people when I was a young saint, and my children growing up and everything. So you learn, you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you realize that you're able to be a witness to people that you work with, to people that you're the closest to. Those are going to be the ones that you affect the most. So in other words, you learn not to be fearful, but to be just like Joshua. The Lord told Joshua after the death of Moses, he said, Moses, my servant is dead. He said to Joshua, only be thou strong and of a good courage. So the same way it is being a soldier. This is what Apostle Paul told Timothy. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's letting him know, you got to be a good soldier. You got to fight the good fight of faith. We're in a spiritual warfare. A lot of people don't realize that. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is found in the 6th chapter of this book of Ephesians that we're in right now. So he goes on here, let them know. So in other words, our position, we, with all loneliness and meekness, with long suffering. So in other words, we got to have patience, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So this is why he was saying, when he wrote to the Romans, he was saying, as much as lieth in you, live peaceable with all men. He didn't say agree with foolishness or whatever. Jesus gave us that lesson. Agree with your adversary while they're in the way. So sometimes you just got to agree. I'm out of here. It's what you do. You got to get away. Because some people, you can't argue with a fool because you won't know which one is the fool. So this is why Solomon, the wisest man in the world, wrote in the 15th chapter of Proverbs, the first verse, he said, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So you have to be wise. So sometimes you just have to let stuff go. It doesn't matter who's right and who's wrong. You know, you're in the presence of a fool. You just got to go. You got to get out of there. So he goes on here about endeavoring. So that's a ongoing task to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So he goes on here. This is my quote that I read when we came online, when we came on the air. There is one body and one Spirit. So you always got to remember now. Ain't no three. Ain't no Trinity. Ain't no God is got one head. He is the head of the church, which is his body. Anything that got more than one head is a freak. And God is not a freak. So what you got to really, the key was revealed to Moses, because nobody was back there in the beginning. It's four words. It's essential. It was revealed unto Moses, and that is, in the beginning, God. That's a divine testimony. And it was only one witness on the stand, and that is the witness that was on the stand is God himself. So this is why in the psalmist says he made way, he made known his ways unto Moses. To make known is a revelation, to make known. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel, how he was a cloud by night and he was a pillar. He was a cloud by day and he was a pillar of fire by night to them, how he revealed himself to them. Moses wanted to see him. He went up in the mount and got the tablets. The Ten Commandments was written with the finger of God, but he came down. He was so wroth and angry and disgusted with the children of Israel. Aaron let them melt down gold, and they made a calf, golden calf. And so Moses was so angry with them, he threw down the tablets when he came down. He had to go back up in the mount. He didn't eat bread or he didn't drink water for 40 days. He was in the presence of God. This time Moses had to write the commandments on the tablets himself. When he came down, he was glowing. He didn't realize that the glory of God was on him. And he shone so that he had to put a veil on his face when he talked to the children of Israel. We went back and talked with them. He took the veil off. So I have a caller, so I'm going to take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, Brother Cannon.
How are you doing? I'm doing good.
Good. I'm just listening to you speak the word of truth. And I just called to tell you I am so enjoying your message. It's needed in this world today, you know?
Yes, it is.
Pray that a lot of people hear you, they understand, and they listen to the truth.
Yes. That's why I'm trying to, everything's on demand. And also I sent a link to Twitter, sent a link to LinkedIn, and sent a link to Facebook.
Awesome.
Yes. So they can actually listen live if they desire. Yeah.
Well, this is my first time listening, but I can guarantee you I will be listening to your blog from now on. You have inspired me with the word. Praise God.
Yes. All right. Yeah.
Okay. That's all I wanted to tell you.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling, and call back again soon.
Oh, you didn't ask my name. My name is Frederica Turner.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Pleased to have you. And you live, let's see, you live in Detroit. I see your area code, Detroit area code.
Yeah, I'm in the Michigan, Detroit area, the metro area.
Yes. All right. Okay. All right.
Okay.
God bless you.
Be blessed. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. All right. So we thank God for that. So we, this is our sincere prayer that the word will get out there. So he goes on here, there's one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. And I remember he's writing to Gentiles. He's writing to people who are already saved. So he goes on here, under every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And I remember before, last week we said, Apostle Paul, let him know, he says, by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then also, when we went through the book of Romans, he's, you know, sometimes people talk, well, I'm glad I did this and the way I came up and all. But he died, Jesus died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He died for the sins of the whole world. So Paul was writing, that's his masterpiece, the book of Romans. So he was saying, he asked a rhetorical question. And that rhetorical question was, he said, what advantage then hath the Jew? So in other words, nobody has no advantage. So is he the God of the Gentiles? Is he the God of the Jews only? He said, he's the God of the Gentiles also. So he is the God of all flesh. And this is what he said to Abraham when he let him know he was going to return. They're going to have a son. Sarah was going to have a son. Abraham was old and well stricken in age at that time. So being not weak, he considered in the fourth chapter of Romans, not his own body, you know, being old, and neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. So the writer in Romans, Paul, St. Paul says he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know, realizing what he has said, that he was able to bring it to pass. So thank God for that. So this is why he was saying, he told Abraham that I'm the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And he also told one more man that was Jeremiah. He said, I'm the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? So this is why Hebrew writer picked it up in Hebrews 13 and 8. He says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Because he got a revelation. He knew that he is the same God. So he goes on here as he's writing to this church at Ephesus. And know our time is just about up. And he was saying that, wherefore he saith when he ascended up on high. This is talking about Jesus. He led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. And he goes on here, now that he ascended, what is it? That he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. This is the question he's asking. He's talking about Jesus after his resurrection, how he descended into the lower parts of the earth. Then he goes on, he that descended, that means he came down, is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And like I always ask the question, how far is far above all heavens? Nobody could do that but the Lord himself. Now, I done flew many times in whatever sphere that's in, 35, you're between 30 and 40,000 feet, what an airplane flies. They fly on different levels, I'm told, by a pilot, depending on which way you're going east and you're going west and how fast you are going. But God is way up, higher than that. He got to humble himself to be so high and lifted up. He had to humble himself to behold the things that are in heaven and the things that are in earth. So after he rose from the dead, he gave some apostles. Those were the 12. There were a few more, but there's only 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb in the book of the Revelation. There are no apostles nowadays, so it amazes me. And he incidentally, that's one time that the Lord chose all men of the masculine gender. All those apostles were men, and they all died horrible deaths but John. So nowadays, you got all these people are coming out. And in the book of the Revelation, he was talking about those that you had to be tried. So they were tried. They say they were apostles, and they were found liars. So there are no apostles nowadays. People get all bent out of shape, but that, you got to understand what a job of an apostle is, and I'm not afraid to say. So he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So any English teacher would tell you that's the self-same one. Pastors and teachers, there is no comma in between that office. So the pastor is the teacher of the local church. He is the main teacher. There are other teachers too. That's what I'm doing right now, is teaching. But a pastor definitely is a teacher. So that's the pastor brings them in. Sheep don't beget sheep. Sheep beget sheep. So sheep got to bring sheep in. And then the pastor, which is the term of a pastor, is a feeder, and they feed the sheep. This is what Jesus told Peter: feed my sheep. You love me, feed my lambs. So go on here. The purpose of the ministry, this is the ministry in the church. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, semicolon, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. So I'm going to have to end it right there, because our time is gone for this time, and we will talk to you on next time. Remember, my question to you is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And remember, my ongoing question: have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?